welcome to the Raising Caleb podcast. My name is Marsh Naidu, and today we are joined by an esteemed panel from Dyersburg State Community College here in Dyersburg, Tennessee, and we're going to be chatting about the Eagle Access Program. Joining me today is Nikki Erickson, who is the current director of the Eagle Access Program, Dr. Brigham Scallion, who is a co-founder of the program, as well as the Northwest representative of the Tennessee Council for Developmental Disabilities, and Dr. Jimmy Barham, who is the Dean of Arts and Sciences and Technology and part of the Planning and Implementation Committee to get the Eagle Access Program going at Dyersburg State Community College. And we are also joined by Dr. Amanda Walker, is the Vice President for Institutional Advancement at the community college. We're just going to do a brief visual description before we head into the conversation. My name is Marsh Naidu, and I'm a female of Indian heritage. I have short black hair and I'm dark skinned. Amanda?
Yes, I am female, Caucasian, long hair and blonde.
Dr. Brigham Scallion?
Yeah, I'm Brigham Scallion. I'm Caucasian. I have short brown hair.
Dr. Barham?
Good morning. I'm Jimmy Barham. I am a white Caucasian male with short brown hair, and I wear glasses, and I'm glad to be here.
Miss Nikki Erickson?
I am Nikki Erickson. I am a Caucasian female, blondish gray hair, and I'm glad to be here today.
Ms. Nikki, I would like to start with you, if that's all right. As director of the program, can you tell us the essence of the program? What is Eagle Access all about?
So it is a work-based skills program for students with intellectual disabilities. They are able to go to college with their peers and take inclusion classes, and then they take classes with me where they learn daily living skills, digital literacy. We do job skills, job interview skills, and we work with others on campus to help make all those things happen. They have, so basically 6 hours worth of classes with me a week, the equivalent of two classes with me, and then they have two classes that they get to choose to take on campus with the professors and the regular students.
I'm going to hop over to you, Dr. Scallion. Can you give us a little bit of backstory and how the program came about?
Sure. This is the first intellectual and developmental disability program in the state of Tennessee at a community college. However, there are six universities in the state of Tennessee that have programs. And so the first one was in 2019. At ETSU, there's one at Vanderbilt, the University of Memphis, Lipscomb University. So those programs have been going for several years now. We started the first one here at Dyersburg State. Now, there are programs all across the country at community colleges. Tennessee just did not have one. So working with the Tennessee Council, we worked to try to get one started here in Tennessee, and it's gone rather well.
Dr. Barham, as far as actual planning and implementation of the program at Dyersburg State Community College, what did that look like? Kind of describe the beginnings of the program. How did the idea take seed, and how did the execution happen?
Sure. So we started working with and exploring programs at other institutions, both within this state. As Dr. Scallion mentioned, we looked at the program at the University of Tennessee at Knoxville, and we also worked with the program at Tallahassee Community College in Florida. They've had a program for students with intellectual and developmental disabilities for several years. And so we looked at those models, the models of those programs, and thought about, you know, our service area and at Dyersburg State Community College in Northwest Tennessee to really kind of develop and build a program that we felt had some, you know, backing from other institutions that works for those institutions, but bringing that to a, you know, a more rural Northwest Tennessee setting. And we developed the curriculum based on that, both, you know, with review from the initial development planning committee, and then had some of our faculty take a look at that as well. And as Ms. Erickson stated earlier, the students are fully integrated. I think a real key component to our program is, you know, the students are fully integrated into our institution. They're taking college classes just like every other student at this institution, because they are our students. They're participate in programs, activities. Ms. Erickson is very much involved with that and making sure that, that all of the students feel completely included in our institution. We also worked closely with, you know, the Department of Financial Aid here at Dyersburg State. Ms. Casey Hardy is our director. She does an excellent job. We were able to receive the CTP Comprehensive Transition and Post-Secondary Award, essentially, for our students to be able to receive federal financial aid to take their coursework here at the institution, either for credit or audit. Either way, for our students to have that door open for them, that access to the financial resources afforded to them. So we're very proud of that distinction as well.
I'm going to kind of leave this open, so just see who would like to answer it. But the question is, can you perhaps inform me as to some of the pathways to access the program? How would a student enroll in the program that's interested in continuing with post-secondary education?
I can start with that. So I do go and talk to all the local high schools in the area, so that the special ed teachers in the high schools and the counselors know about the program. Also, the voc rehab counselors in the area are very much a part of referring students, since they do provide services and help for the students to attend the college. I have given information to lots of other things like your podcast. ECF Choices has had me speak to certain people in the area. The Tennessee Rehabilitation Center has been involved. They actually come work with the students, and so they make referrals.
And this is a relatively new program too, right, Ms. Snakey? I mean, are is this the second year that you guys are into the program?
This August, we'll start our second year, yes, ma'am.
And I'm sure with time as well, word of mouth and other students finding out about the program will kind of propel y'all forward as well. As far as some of the barriers to access to the program, I know we live in a rural community and transportation is one that can be a challenge. And often students with intellectual and developmental disabilities might not always be driving or have access to bring themselves to college. Is there anything set up perhaps, or any thoughts about how this could be supported?
So one of the things we did this past year, I had a student come in from Lauderdale County that did not have transportation. The Delta HRA van provided that transportation. The parents paid for that. And they will be doing that again this fall. There will be two students riding the van. It was very reliable. It was very affordable, and that we worked really well with them. There is the Northwest HRA here in Dyersburg, but I haven't had an opportunity to work with them, but they are out there as a possible mode of transportation for students in the upper West Tennessee area.
I'd like to ask this question to Dr. Brigham and Dr. Barham. What is the vision for the program moving forward?
I think it is, we really lucked out getting somebody of Nikki Erickson's prestige, really, I guess you could say. She has just done an outstanding job helping the students from every single aspect. And so I think it's critical that we got somebody in there to lead us. And so I think our vision is to help her and to give her the things she needs to make the program bigger and better so that we can serve more disabled students in our community. But one of the things that we've also done this past year is we've helped other institutions who've been trying to get these programs. And so I know Nikki Erickson and Dr. Barham and I have worked with some folks at Chattanooga State to help. There are people there interested in getting another program started. They got word a couple months ago that they got part of the Tennessee Believes grant. So they're going to start their program this year. And I think a second part of our vision, other than helping ours grow, is to help others in the state realize that these things really can be done. Governor Lee and the General Assembly back in 2022 set aside about $500,000 in grant for people to apply for to improve higher inclusive programs in the state or to begin new programs in the state. The very next year, because of the response and applications, they increased that amount to $1 million. So this year, the grant is up to $1 million. And so I think one of my goals is to help statewide or beyond to help other people get these programs started. These programs affect and help people in our community that have been there for years that have not had an option after high school. And these programs give them an option to get skills like Nikki was talking about, activities for daily living, work skills, hang out with students, get to attend athletic events and stuff like that. And so that I think that would be my vision for this program.
That's excellent. And the only thing I would add to that is kind of expand on the growth of the program here at our institution a little bit. Dyersburg State is very fortunate that our service area has recently expanded, and we've opened an offsite location up in Paris, Tennessee, in Henry County. So we really are, you know, the main campus here in Dyersburg is where the Eagle Access program is focused at this time. I second Dr. Scallion, Ms. Erickson's expertise and caliber in this field. We were very fortunate to really kind of steal her away from Tipton County Schools, but we have a large offsite location in Tipton County at the Jimmy Nathy Center. And so part of the goal is to expand this program to these offsite locations as well, to serve not only the students in Dyer and the surrounding counties, but also in Tipton County, and then hopefully eventually up in the Paris community as well. That's some goals as well.
That's a great point.
I understand that the key points of the program is the opportunity to learn life skills, the workplace skills, as well including the socialization aspect. Program, is it a 2 or 4 year program, Miss Nikki? It's a 2 year program. Just from a parent's standpoint, I would like to ask, is there anything in the pipeline once the program is completed? Are there any other avenues that we could potentially look forward to?
As far as transfer, are you talking about transferability to other institutions? I mean, Ms. Erickson, do you want to talk a little bit about the visit that you all took as a group to Memphis?
To the University of Memphis?
Yes.
I mean, we do communicate with the other colleges. I took some of my students to the University of Memphis back in the fall just for a visit, and they ate lunch with the other group at the University of Memphis. We also did a field trip day with Union University students. And so we are trying to make sure that they know there are other students like them out there. There are other programs out there. But it's my understanding that most of these programs, even at the four-year colleges, are only set up for 2 years unless you get permission that you can expand it into a third year. And there are some colleges across the country doing that, but it is a whole separate thing to get certified or qualified to do that. In terms of us right now, I have talked to my parents and my students about the fact that when they are done with my program, Voc Rehab is still around. Those Voc Rehab counselors that are helping provide funding and are writing plans for their future, because the Voc Rehab counselors write a plan with them every semester for what they for what they're expected to do, the outcomes. Those Voc Rehab counselors are still going to be in the picture. They are still going to be out there helping them with jobs, helping them with job placement, with job training, job coaching. So even though we do have to eventually leave the picture for them, we leave them in the hands of a rehab so that they always have somebody out there helping them. So it doesn't end after 2 years as long as they stay with their voc rehab counselor.
I think that was the question I had. Like, you know, often you kind of, you're not quite sure the pathway or what kind of comes next. And I think that answers it really aptly. So voc rehab is a possible pathway for students. Okay.
Yes, most definitely. I mean, they have to be a client of voc rehab to go through the program. So that is already built in and set up for them. So they don't have to go out and search for voc rehab when they leave us. They already have that set up. It's already built into the program here, and it just continues when they leave.
And if I might add, voc rehab is who help pays for some, for their tuition, quite a bit of their tuition at these programs through a grant. And voc rehab is part of the Department of Agriculture and has been in communities for years and years. And they have relationships with companies, industry in the community already. And they have been attempting for years to help individuals with disabilities get work or be a part of the community. And so this, that's already been set up. And so Nikki has a great relationship with the folks here. And that's one of the groups that we hope to help so that we can find these students internships and possibilities for them once they leave our institution.
You guys, you'll have a mentoring program as well. Can you tell me a little bit about that?
We are still building on a mentoring program. Like this fall, we have a project that we are doing with the Honor Society on campus. And so that will provide some mentoring for the students. I'm going to be working with one of the education professors this fall to have her students come in and work with my students. We're still kind of ironing out the details there, but I'm really excited about that because it gives the opportunity for those education students to learn by working with students and being able to do some lessons and things with them. We, you know, we always try to go to every activity on campus that we can go to, whether it's pizza with the president, if it's with the breakfast things, ball games. And so they have an opportunity to go out and mingle and socialize with the students on campus all the time. But we are little by little trying to get students that are specifically listed more as mentors. I did not build on that as much last year because I did not know my students yet. And I really wanted to kind of build the program for a year and know what my students needed before I went out there looking for students to work with them. So that is something that will be more in the works this fall and spring.
Ms. Nikki, as far as the application process, can you tell us a little bit about that?
Okay. So, and the application was pretty much built before I came, but it's a pretty in-depth application. They have to provide, we need their high school diploma. We need to know what kind of diploma they received and their transcript. There's a reference section on there where if they've had a job in the past or, you know, they can use the job reference, or if it's just a high school teacher or someone in the community, we do ask for references. There is a section that the students are asked to fill out. That gives me an idea of what they're capable of. I can look at their handwriting skills, their thought processes. So there's a lot that I ask the parents to make sure that the student does. And then there's a section, a history form for the parent to fill out, medical history, academic history. We do need the psychological, the educational psychological evaluation from the schools. I usually ask for their last IEP because it gives a lot of information about their levels, whether they ideally we want them to have around a third to fourth grade reading level and basic math skills. So that IEP will give me that information. And then I have a couple of other things that I give to the parents, just checklists so that I know certain things about the student. They do need to be able to sit through a 90-minute class. To be able to sit there and, you know, not be a distraction of any type, to be able to participate with the other students. So behavior does play a part in the application process. We need to know that they can handle a college campus. They do need to be able to get around on campus on their own. Now, I'm going to make sure they get somewhere. I'm not going to send them out there. But after they get used to their schedule and they know where they're going, they need to be able to go on their own because part of that is growing up. And knowing that if I can send them to a class, hopefully that will lead into a job skill. I know that they can show up at work and know where to go every day. Let's see. Voc Rehab, like we said, is part of the application process. So they do have to meet with the Voc Rehab Council. They do have to do applications and a plan and certain things for them. I'm trying to think. That may be all the paperwork. Can you guys think of anything else paperwork-wise?
I think you covered it.
Yeah.
All right.
So, guys, we're going to have a little dream list here going on. What would be your hope for the program moving in the future? Amanda, would you like to go? What would be your wish for the program?
Well, my wish for the program would be a gracious donor to support the program so that we could have 10 to 15 students fully funded each year. That would be my hope. So there would be no need for us to write a grant and try to find the money for the program. We would love to have a donor that would stand up and support the program.
And I would add, just from what Dr. Barham said, having programs at each of our centers to help those individual communities in Tipton County, in Henry County, and in Dyersburg. And to be fully funded, like Dr. Walker said, to have people support that so that we don't have to go after the grants. But
One thing that I know that I would like, I have a wonderful brand new classroom. I have lots of supplies, things of that nature. So we are very set up. It's a beautiful classroom. I would love a kitchen. That is kind of my dream in the near future. Because a lot of growing up in independent living skills is also being able to have kitchen safety, being able to cook a meal for yourself. So that is kind of in my immediate next couple of years vision is to maybe there is a donor out there that would love to help us supply a kitchen. So,
oh, my word. Miss Nikki, from your mouth to God's ears, that would be a fantastic addition.
That's definitely something we're working toward. To do that, to kind of expand on some of the things that we have here on campus already to kind of shore that up for the students in your program, then also for the college as a whole. But, you know, the only thing I might add, in addition to certainly the funding and the expansion and the growth, is just the continued sort of exposure for students who may be a little different from us to our other students, because, you know, there is the focus of this program is for students with intellectual and developmental disabilities. But for Dyersburg State, our traditional students having opportunity to interact with students who may be a little different from them, I think is invaluable, and to continue to try and change mindsets and preconceived notions about whatever. I think that's a huge component that only enriches our communities and our students. So that's
well said.
Well said.
Yeah. I'm going to go ahead and just ask for closing remarks. And again, would sincerely like to thank you all for your time to tell us more about the Eagle Access Program. And Dr. Walker, just your closing remarks, please, ma'am.
Well, we're so thankful that you have provided us with the opportunity to share more about our program, and hopefully it will help others learn more, and we will gain some additional students that we can then help serve in the community. So we appreciate your time and your service back to the college.
Absolutely. The service area that you'll provide the service to Eagle Access, it's Tipton, Dyersburg, and is Paris pending?
We have a center in Henry County in Paris that is approved by SAC COC, but right now our Eagle Access program is at the main campus there in Dyersburg.
Okay, so for example, if somebody lives in Gibson County, are they still in the service area for Dyersburg State Community College, or is that
So Gibson is in the Jackson State service area now. They are no longer in our service area. However, Jackson State does not offer this program. And so they are free to apply to the program. And as long as they can provide transportation, they can attend the program. Am I correct, Dr. Barham?
Yes. And we welcome students wherever they are. And we've touched on the transportation challenges. Certainly, that's something that we want to, another goal we want to continue to work through. You know, as I mentioned earlier, we service a primarily rural area, and you know, public transportation is not something that we have readily available to, you know, any of our students in our service area. But the service area comment was really about Dyersburg State in particular, but we will welcome students. So anyone who could benefit from this program certainly needs to contact Ms. Erickson, myself, any of us on this call. We're happy to talk with them about this program and what we can help them, you know, to reach their goals.
Dr. Scallion, closing remarks, please, sir.
Yeah, I think the higher inclusive Tennessee is catching up as far as nationwide in the higher inclusive education model. Dyersburg State is leading the way in the state of Tennessee. And I would hope that we could expand these programs so that all of the communities in the state of Tennessee can be offered a chance for these type of programs.
Miss Nikki?
Okay. So I just want to say I'm loving this program. This has been, you know, the most fun year of working I've had. I look forward to meeting my new students this fall. Any of the parents and students out there that are interested, they are more than welcome to contact me, come visit, come sit down, have a talk. I will be glad to talk to them, share the information, work with them if it's a transportation issue to try to be creative and help them find that. Whatever we can do to help. I look forward to the future of the program and the students that I'm getting to know and work with.
Dr. Barham?
Yeah, my goal is to really make sure that the program continues to grow and succeed, and that we meet the needs of the students who may benefit from them wherever they may be. And again, we want to expand to our other locations. And it's very exciting to be on the sort of the forefront in the community colleges in this state. And want to continue, as Dr. Scallion said, we want to continue to help our sister institutions reach, you know, the people in their areas as well. So that's really kind of my vision as well.
Thank you all so much for your time today. Okay, you'll have a great rest of the day.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you for listening along on the podcast today. As always, we would sincerely appreciate a rate and review on your podcast platform. This makes us discoverable to other folks out there that are seeking this type of information. So remember, a rate and review on your podcast platform, especially if you are listening on Apple or Spotify. Just a weekend ago was our first live event. Day at the Lake took place in Fern Lake right here in Dyersburg, Tennessee on the 26th of August. It was well attended by 70 participants who came to listen to great speakers. There was definitely great content provided by our speakers, and that content is available to you completely free of charge on the Raising Kellan, spelled K-E-L-L-A-N, YouTube channel. So if you were wanting to hear what the speakers talked about at Day at the Lake, be sure to jump over to the YouTube channel. As always, remember, the content provided on this podcast is purely educational. That is a wrap for today. And as always, guys, remember, get to the top of your mountain. This is Marsh Naidu signing off.